You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition, and I have two updates. One, the damage done by Hurricane, now a tropical storm, Michael, was extensive. We have more video on it, and if you go to my companion blog for the show, that's PronkPops.wordpress.com. I have both photographs and a lot of videos from the area by various news channels, the major networks, as well as Fox News. And it's devastating. It was catastrophic damage. You can see it now. Before, you could see the winds blowing, but in the night, you can't really see the dramatic widespread damage. Now, if you're in the panhandle, was the hardest hit, especially along the coast, and it can pick up a house and roll it down the street so there's nothing left. And you see, and what's strange is you can see many, many houses totally damaged, nothing there or pieces, and in a house in perfect condition standing. So it's somewhat random. It really depends on how well the structure building is. And it also hit the Tyndall Air Force Base, its hangars. Now, they can get most of their aircraft out, but you're still going to have aircraft that are in maintenance and can't be flown out. Remember, this was a fast-moving hurricane. It had very, very high winds, and a lot of the damage was due to the wind, and then that is followed by a surge, a tide surge, that, especially if you're along the beach, did a lot of damage, a lot of flooding, and then rain follows. And most people, there have been at least 10 deaths. The death count will probably go up. But the good news is, by Friday, it should be in the Atlantic Ocean. So this is a fast-moving hurricane moving through primarily the states of Florida, on the west side of Florida, Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, and North Carolina. And as it hits land, initially it was a Category 4, which is and right near a Category 5, and I went over those categories, but it hit about 155 miles an hour. But as it moves inland, it was quickly downgraded to first 3, then 2, then 1. The winds dissipate as it goes over the land. Where it gets its energy from is the Gulf of Mexico coast, especially that unseasonably high temperatures, several degrees higher than normal. That's what really gave it its strength. But now as it crosses over land, it's still going to be raining. You're going to have a good day of rain, and the surge was over 14 feet, which is high. That will, if you're on the beach, you're lucky your house is still standing, because most of the houses are not. They're damaged, and they just push. The surge just pushes all that debris further inland, and that in turn damages other buildings. You see many, many trees, especially the pine trees, snapped. And unfortunately, if it falls on your house, can do extensive damage to your roof in your house, and it could even injure you. But the biggest impact of the falling trees has been on the power lines. And you see people are now going in. It's actually now sunny, the panhandle. It's a nice day, but the damage is already done. You see boats, not in a near a pier, but literally on land. The force of the storm literally carries those, you know, small craft and just dumps them wherever it is. And you see house after house, either if not destroyed, blocks away. And there's just a lot of pictures that I've added to it, and it's devastating. I remember when I was in the Air Force, I was a member of the Aero Club, and about 2 days after a tornado hit, and this was in Xenia, Ohio, many years ago, I flew over both the forest, and you could see where the trees were down, as well as in the damage it did to the city. This is much widespread. It's literally buildings are not there. All you see are the foundation and a lot of debris. So it's going to be, I would say, months before they can really clean it up. The number one priority today is to try to rescue people that could be trapped in their homes or on the second floor because there was flooding, and they're going in to try to rescue people. So that's going to take first priority. You have a lot of people responding, first responders, both in terms of the utility trucks going in trying to fix the down power lines, as well as various fire departments are sending their rescue units in. So it's a all hands on deck type situation, and you can just the coast. What's really been hit hardest is Panama City, Mexico Beach, and Port St. Joe, and that's where a lot of the footage is. And they are talking to people that wrote it out and are regretting it. Some were very fortunate, but many people, they return to their homes. It's all their belongings are gone. They have to start all over, and your heart goes out to them. But they're alive. What really caught my attention, though, a lady was crying because she lost her cat, and she really was upset about losing her cat. Well, I understand that. People become very attached to their pets, whether it's a dog or cat. And it's usually the pets that get hit the hardest because they're left where they are. Some people just leave their pets, and many of the pets either drowned or, unfortunately, were killed. There are literally hundreds missing, so we don't really know the death count yet. Now, many of those either fled or in shelters, but many more, though, I'm afraid the death count will go up. And this was rather fast-moving, so people didn't have a lot of time to get out, but you got to pay attention to the weather, because this was a deadly storm, mainly because of the high winds, not so much the water. Yes, the surge flooded areas, and there were rain, but one of the benefits, if you will, from a fast-moving hurricane that's moving through the states and off the coast is it's not circling back and still dropping rain. So that's why what's interesting, many parts of Florida, the eastern portion of Florida, is fine. It's sunny. I was just checking on Jacksonville. It's sunny. It was not touched at all. Really, the damage has been that we know of right now is primarily in the panhandle of Florida, but it also extends into Georgia. We'll get more information on that as the days go on. So this is going to be a massive cleanup. This will literally take months to clean up. The initial priority is first rescuing any people that are trapped in their homes, can't get out, and people have been trapped mainly because of flooding. And then people may be still alive, but under the debris. So you have a lot of rescue dogs going in trying to locate people that made the poor decision of staying in. And many people say it was their you're talking to survivors, this is the worst decision they ever made. And you can see by the damage it was. So I can't really do it justice, but I wanted to point out that I've accumulated a lot of the videos on my companion blog, and that's what I would recommend you doing. I've saved you a little bit of time and have a rather broad sampling of the various network coverage of this and some articles that have a lot of photographs. You can see the hurricane as it moved off out of Florida into Georgia. Now it's in South Carolina, North Carolina, and by Friday it'll be off the coast. So it was like a bullet. It went quick and straight. But the people that had the biggest impact on are those in Florida and southern Georgia, because it still was a hurricane. Initially, it's one of the Category 4, 155 miles, right under the 157 to make it a Category 5. It was going to do a lot of damage from the wind, and then right on its heels is the surge. Not so much damage in terms of continuous rainfall, because within a day the storm was gone, but the damage was done. And I believe the president will visit the damage area this weekend. Right now, though, the priority is search and rescue for people that are either trapped under debris or trapped in their home because of flooding. So our thoughts and prayers definitely go out to the people that try to ride it out. This was not one to ride out, though. And many people are considering moving away from Florida. Now, my family used to be in Florida, and my brother still is. Now, he was in Orlando, so he didn't see the impact. I don't particularly like the weather down there. Not so much the hurricanes. It just gets, in the summer, it's hot and muggy. It's real muggy. Texas is hot, but you don't have the humidity. Florida is very nice in the winter when everyone is cold. Florida is nice, especially southern Florida. But in hurricane season, it's not the place to be. In the summer, it's muggy. A lot of people like the beaches. I understand that. But one of the risks of building, especially near the coast, while you might have a nice view, once every decade or two or three or 50, you're going to get an event like this. And unless you're in a very well-constructed, steel-reinforced homes, and most homes aren't that, they're wooden frame homes, you face the real risk of losing your entire home and what's ever in it. So I urge you to try to help out in any way you can. I know people in Texas and other states are sending various types of resources. People need food. They need water. They need electricity. So generators definitely help. But it's going to take time. And one of the problems is just getting in, because many of these roads are blocked because of the pine trees. Trees, not only pine trees, but mainly pine trees, falling on the wires and blocking the roads. So even if they don't knock out the electricity, they're blocking out roads, and that makes it difficult to get into towns and certain neighborhoods. So it's just a matter of time. It will be at least several weeks till we're more or less back to normal, and it's going to take more than a month, probably several, to really clean this area. And what you need to understand, many people work in this area, but if the business is destroyed, they no longer have a job. Keep that in mind. And many people rely on that paycheck. So most people live and work in the same area where a business area is destroyed, and many businesses were, many people can come back, might find their home, if they're fortunate, in good condition, but then they go to town or where they work and find that the business was destroyed. So a lot of, not only residential, but a lot of businesses, the buildings were literally leveled. And you just see it. You see the cement foundations, and that's all that's left. So help out if you can. And it is amazing the damage this hurricane did. I'm scrolling down seeing the pictures, and this was a very dangerous, the damage was catastrophic. That's the word you hear, and that's the correct word to say it. And many areas, low elevation, are just flooded. You see roads, streets flooded, and usually that means the business is flooded as well as homes along those roads. So if you can help out, definitely do it. They need water, they need food, and they need power to generate. Because even if you have a grocery store that's open and it's stocked, remember, trucks have difficult time getting in. Where do you bring the food home to if you don't have electricity? Remember, a lot of what you eat, carbohydrates, protein, fats, require electricity, whether it's milk, meat, anything that requires electricity, including cooking the food. It's going to be several days, if weeks, before power is on. The estimates are over 500,000 are without power. Now, that hopefully will quickly go down. And remember, the focus today is on the impact in Florida. I'm sure we're going to see more reports Friday and going into the weekend where we get more reports from the impact on Georgia as well as the Carolinas. And by now, by Friday, it's definitely going to be in the Atlantic Ocean, the center of the storm. Today, it's over South Carolina, North Carolina, as I speak. So it's moved on from western Florida into Georgia, and I have a map that shows you the path and the winds. And what's interesting is it's not much rain. There is rain. They've had 6 to 10 inches of rain, but it's primarily rain. What's doing the damage is the high winds. But now, as it becomes downgraded to a tropical storm, the winds are definitely under 75 miles an hour. So they're, in essence, more than half what they were. And most of Florida, along the East Coast, Central Florida, were not impacted. It was really what they call the Panhandle, which includes Panama City, Mexico Beach, Port St. Joe, and communities surrounding those areas that were hardest hit. So check out the videos. Now, we had what's really in the news again today is the stock market went down again over 500 points. So for both Wednesday and Thursday, for example, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is 30 large capitalization stocks, went down over 1,300 points. Now, I view this as a correction. It won't be a crash until you see levels. It would have to, this so-called correction would have to go on or become significantly greater to make it a crash. It's way overdue, folks. Way overdue. And I think stocks are way overvalued. So that's why I said yesterday, I'm no longer in the business. I don't give investment advice. But if you're sitting on a lot of cash, you might consider getting in. That's your choice. Because there are many buying opportunities. The hardest hit sector was the technology stocks, as well as Amazon, but your Microsoft, Apple, Netflix. And if you own those stocks, you've seen them go down, but you've also seen them go up. Because we've had more or less a general trend upwards. Many people, I'm not in a minority here, think that many of these stocks are way overvalued. So was I surprised that there was a correction? No, not at all. You're in an area, though, where the stock prices will be highly volatile. So you buy at your own risk. And if you want to earn a large reward, you got to take risk. Now, I want to add something because I was somewhat annoyed at President Trump's remark that the Fed has gone crazy because it's increasing the federal funds rate. Well, when he was running for president, he was correct in criticizing the former federal chairman, Janet Yellen, and she was guilty of this, of keeping interest rates way low. If you listen to some of my past shows, I repeatedly said that we need to get back to a more normal situation for the Fed's funds rate, which is from roughly 3 to 5%. But I'm not for the Federal Reserve intervening in the federal funds market to try to and that's what they do. They do intervene. They're trading securities and trying to keep it in a relatively narrow range. I want markets to determine the interest rates. And they largely do, with the big exception being the federal funds rate. And Donald Trump correctly pointed out that the Federal Reserve kept the interest rates arbitrarily low too long. He was absolutely right. I've been saying it, and they should have much sooner started to bring back closer to what the market would be in terms of the interest rate. The reason you had such a large run-up of stocks is largely because of this cheap, easy monetary policy. That's low interest rate. Remember, for almost 7 years, from 2008 through 2015, not quite the end of 15, but in the fall of 2015, they started gradually a whole 25 basis points to increase the federal funds rate. And they've had seven increases since then. And what's happened as they gradually did this? The stock market went up. So, you know, you can't have it both ways, President Trump. When stock market was rising and there was gradual increase, his complaint, and a good complaint, is they kept it too low, too long. Mainly so the Democrats would win. They kept an easy monetary policy. And I still think it's an easy monetary policy. It's not even neutral. And he's complaining about it. He shouldn't complain about it. Now, the Fed isn't going to do this, but I'll do this. The complaint is not in monetary policy. I want to abolish the Fed. Let me make very, very clear. The Fed, as I said last show, has been a failure. Because other than being a lender last resort, the Fed has been wrong too many times. Occasionally gets it right. You know, let's be honest. Even occasionally, the worst hitter gets a home run. But the monetary policy that the Fed is engaged in for the last 100 years has resulted in the value of a 1914 dollar being less than 3 cents. And I better do some checking. I think it's probably under 2% by now. So if you had perfection in terms of monetary policy, a 1914 dollar should be worth a dollar today. It isn't. Why? Because in World War I, World War II, and other wars, as well as in the 70s, what happened? You've had prices, in some cases, doubling over a period of years. And this has gone on and on and on. The bias is towards not price stability. They like to tell you, well, one of our goals is price stability. And then they immediately say, up to 2% is okay. Well, wait a minute. Price stability means no increases. I'm not talking a specific price of a good or service. I'm talking the general price level. And the general price level is directly influenced by the monetary policies in terms of buying and selling of securities of the Federal Reserve, primarily Treasury securities. So that's why I and some people that study this don't want to have a Federal Reserve, a central bank controlling interest rates, manipulating, intervening in the money markets and manipulating that rate. They're trying to keep it very, very low. Now, why? Why are they trying to keep it very low? It doesn't help people that like to save their money and have a very safe place like a savings account. No. They're really in bed with the federal government, the Treasury Department, because as the United States has taken on more and more debt, it's over $22 trillion and growing, and it looks like the Treasury Department is getting further and further behind in terms of the monthly Treasury statement. If I were president, I'd get on the Secretary of the Treasury Mnuchin's case and say, what's taking you so long in getting the reports out, sir? By the 10th, now today is the 11th, by the 10th business day, and that's next week, we should see the September report. Well, I just went online before this show and checked it out. They still have July up there. Where's the August? August should be out. And in a couple of weeks, so should September. And it's going to show that it's most likely going to be definitely over $700 billion. And I think when we finally get the results through the end of the fiscal year, September 30th, it'll be over $800 billion, or very near that. And then hold on, because the following fiscal year, remember, we're in fiscal year 2019, at least the first month, but a year from now, it'll be over $1,000 billion. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's the real problem. And I'm not going to repeat what I said last show, but the problem is leadership, both by the president and the party that controls Congress, and that's the Republican Party, to balance the budget. They're so far from balancing the budget. Donald Trump would have to be elected for three terms. He can't. Three terms before they might even approach it. That's how bad it is. Because there's no sense of urgency, no leadership to balance the budget. It's spend, spend, spend. Don't worry about it. We'll charge it. We'll just issue more debt. Doesn't matter whether it's Democrats or Republicans. It's sad. Spending addiction disorder. We got a bunch of spending addicts. And they're spending your money. It's worse than your money or your sons and daughters' money. We're talking unborn generations. That's how bad it is. And Trump is playing politics, pointing out the Fed, when look in the mirror, sir. It's you and Congress, both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, that can't do its job. Where's the leadership? Where's the leadership? The answer is there isn't any. Where's big lie media? They don't want to talk about it. It's going to hit the fan. That's my point. That's why I go on and on about this. You know, if interest rates, if the federal funds rate was close to where it should be, somewhere between 4 and 5%, it's not going to get there for at least 3 years, a minimum of two or three. And what is Donald Trump going to do? Keep pointing fingers at the Federal Reserve? No, the finger points right back at you and in turn, Congress. You propose the budget, sir. I know they throw it in the wastebasket, no matter what you propose, but your budgets aren't balanced and the House budgets aren't balanced. The Senate budgets aren't balanced. And how out of balance are they? Hundreds of billions of dollars. Not one, not two, not three, seven, eight, ten. Not billion, 1,000 billion. That's what next year fiscal year deficit will be. 1,000 billion. And then you have happy faces. We can grow our way out of it. Well, yeah, if we're growing at 6, 7, 8%, but the economy is not growing at 6, 7, 8%. One quarter of 4% growth does not a trend make. You need consistency. You need 4, 5, 6% growth rates quarter after quarter after quarter, really, for 10 years before we can get under control the financial mess we're in. You can see the damage in Florida and Georgia. What you're not seeing is the damage done to you and me and future generations. These people are addicts. They're addicts at spending your money. And when they run out of your money, they borrow more money. And you got to pay interest on it. If people are foolish enough to lend money to the United States government by buying Treasury securities, and don't worry, worldwide, there's a big demand. The largest asset category is Treasury funds. Those are debt obligations of the United States government. I wouldn't put my money in them. Are you kidding me? It's a disaster. And eventually, the institutions and individuals that invest in Treasury securities, they're slowly but surely waking up to that. And that's what really the politicians are afraid of. Because what will happen, people will demand more and more interest, a higher interest rate for them to take the risk. And it's a substantial risk. And what you need to understand, that businessmen hate uncertainty. They know that the United States has over $22 trillion in debt, over $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities and obligations. There's no way we can pay off those unfunded obligations. There's just no way. Like I said last show, this year the United States real GDP will be about somewhere in the $20 trillion area. It could be a little higher. So our unfunded obligations are more than 10 times the entire output of final goods and services of the United States economy. Now, I'll give you a rough ballpark. I'm close, but I don't know. I could be off. If you added up the GDP this year of the entire world, remember, the U.S. GDP is, a little bit over 20%, 22, 23%. The world's GDP is in the neighborhood of 80 $1 trillion. If you add the national debt of the United States together with unfunded liabilities, it's over, think about this, $80 billion. Let's take a high number. Let's really play it safe. It's at least twice what we owe, the United States owes. Now, a lot of it is owed to you and me. What are these unfunded liabilities? Government pensions, Social Security, Medicare. You see, they didn't invest the money. They just spent the money. So what happens when people demand their benefits, expecting their Social Security check? Looks like Social Security is going to go up your Social Security check, if you're receiving one, slightly under 3%. Well, how do you pay for that? We're certainly not collecting enough taxes. Now, if you listen to the show, you know payroll taxes of people working are paying for the benefits that of those that are eligible for Social Security or Medicare. It's a pay-as-you-go system. And who put in this payroll, this pay-as-you-go system? The Democratic Party did in 1935 and 1965 with LBJ. It's the two most popular programs. What most people don't understand is they didn't invest the money. There's no trust fund where they've invested the money. It's just an IOU. They borrowed the surpluses when they had them, and they spent them on other things. There's no money there. That's why these unfunded liabilities and obligations of the United States government is so high. It's not like when you take out your own retirement plan, put money aside and invest it, and it grows, assuming you make good investment decisions and are diversified. It doesn't work that way. Well, it's paying your Social Security check and your Medicare benefits, if you're eligible for it, are people that are working today. It is what I call an intergenerational Ponzi scheme. That's the problem. Now, I'm going to move off this because both of these stories I did cover yesterday. I've given you an update, and I urge you to just see the devastation. It's shocking. You got to pay attention. What the politicians hope is you don't pay attention. And when you don't pay attention, that's when you're going to get nailed. Now, I'm scrolling down because I have a lot of information. I'm going to skip a story, but I want to at least mention it because I'm really running out of time. If you've listened to the show, I more or less believe that the Republican Party will maintain control of the House of the Senate, the House and the Senate. What's really close is going to be the House. The Senate, I think they're going to increase the number of Republican senators. The first thing I need to say is I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. Both parties are taking us to hell in a handbasket. They're big government parties, and what they're selling you is what I call Santa Claus socialism. Vote for me, and I'll give you some free stuff. That, in a nutshell, is what both the Democrats and the Republicans have been peddling to you. The problem is the bills are coming due, and they don't have the money. I think you're going to see what they call a red wave. The Republicans are going to win. Why? What's turning off a lot of voters is the protests that the Democratic Party... Now, I have nothing against protests. But when you, for example, I think it's assault, where you have congressmen, senators going to a restaurant or people in the administration going out to a restaurant and then they are assaulted while they're eating, usually with their wives or family, I think that they should be thrown out of the restaurant, the cops called, and sign a complaint against them. That's what should be done. That's not what's being done. They're trying to chase out the politicians and his wife where they're having dinner. Would you want that to happen to you? The answer is no. And that's where I think it backfires. There are people funding this type of operation, and they're funding the protests that we saw both in the hearings, the Kavanaugh hearings, as well as pounding on the doors of the Supreme Court. And then the rhetoric, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Congressman Walters and others, it's extreme. You'd think they'd have the common sense to keep their mouth shut, but they don't. Let me play what Hillary Clinton said.
We have seen him spreading corruption, both him personally, his family business, others in his administration. We have seen him also attacking truth and facts, even reason itself, and fundamentally trying to undermine our national unity. So I was hopeful. I wanted to give him a chance. I think every new president deserves a chance, but every month that's gone by, I've become more and more worried about how he governs and how he treats people.
Well, I didn't have the right clip there. I didn't have the right segment that I wanted. Hillary Clinton is back, and it's a real joke listening to her. She has a reputation for being a liar, not likable, and I think the American people are tired of her, whether they're independents, Republicans, or Democrats. She's running in 2020. I have no doubts about it. She's going to be challenged, and I think she'll lose again. The American people are tired of Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. They want him away. She's damaged goods. And she said, and the clip I was after is, we shouldn't have civility until the Democrats win back control of the House, the Senate, and the President. That's the gist of what she said. I want to clap. Keep it up. Keep it up. Because I think you're cutting your own throats. You're committing your own political suicide. Because you have people that are fundamentally decent and fair, and they don't like the way supporters of the Democratic Party, or really they're acting up. They sound like petulant children. They're rude. They're uncivil. And she says, well, we shouldn't be civil to them until we win. Well, I think that's a very revealing comment. Now, the Republicans are not falling for the bait here. And we wait to see. There's only a little over 3 weeks to Election Day. Slightly under four. We're getting there. It's the first Tuesday, November 6th. And I had more to play. I was going to play a clip of McConnell going on about this, but I simply don't have the time. I'm looking at the time. I really got to wrap it up, and I wanted to get on the last story. And that's, I'm not a follower of rap music. And yesterday in the White House, Kanye West was there. He's a friend of President Trump, wore one of Trump's MAGA hats, Make America Great Again. And I want you to listen to what he had to say.
People expect that if you're black, you have to be Democrat. I have I've had conversations that basically said that welfare is the reason why a lot of black people end up being Democrat. They say, you know, first of all, it's a limit to amount of jobs. So the fathers lose the jobs and they say, we'll give you more money for having more kids in your home. And then we got rid of the mental health institutes in the 80s and the 90s, and the prison rates just shot up. And now you have Chirac, what people call Chirac, which is actually our murder rate is going down by 20% every year. I just talked to the superintendent, met with Michael Sachs, that's Rahm's right-hand man. So I think it's the bravery that helps you beat this game called life. You know, they tried to scare me to not wear this hat, my own friends. But this hat, it gives me power in a way. You know, my dad and my mom separated, so I didn't have a lot of male energy in my home. And also, I'm married to a family that, you know, not a lot of male energy going on. It's beautiful, though. But there's times where, you know, it's something about, you know, I love Hillary. I love everyone, right? But the campaign, I'm with her, just didn't make me feel as a guy that didn't get to see my dad all the time, like a guy that could play catch with his son. It was something about when I put this hat on, it made me feel like Superman. You made a Superman. That's my favorite superhero. And you made a Superman cape for me, also as a guy that looks up to you, looks up to Ralph Lauren, looks up to American industry guys. Non-political, no bullshit, put the beep on it, however you want to do it, 5 seconds delay, and just goes in and gets it done. Right now, you gave me the heart to go to Adidas, because at Adidas, when I went in 2015, we were $14 billion company losing $2 billion a year. Now we have a $38 billion market cap. It's called the Yeezy effect. And I went to Casper. We had a meeting in Chicago. And I said, you have to bring manufacturing onshore, not even shore, into the core. It's not about the borders, the core of Adidas. And Chicago is the core of Middle America. We have to make Middle America strong. So I had the balls, because I have enough balls to put on this hat. I mean, this thing made me a billionaire. And I could have lost $200 million walking away from that deal. But even with that, I knew it was more important for me to take the chance of walking away from that deal than to have no fathers in Chicago with no homes. And when we do have prison reprobation, for no, because it's habilitation, not rehabilitation, because we didn't have the abilities in the first place. We never had anyone to taught us. We didn't teach us. Exactly. We had no one to taught us. Right? So it's more important than any specific deal, anything, that we bring jobs into America and that we provide a transition with mental health and the American education curriculum that Jim has worked on. Larry Hoover also has a curriculum that he's worked on. We have Montessori curriculums that we worked on. WeWorks has a beautiful curriculum. The Waldorf establishment has a curriculum. We have meditation. There's a lot of things affecting our mental health that makes us do crazy things that puts us back into that trap door called the 13th Amendment. I did say abolish with the hat on, because why would you keep something around that's a trap door? If you're building a floor, the Constitution is the base of our industry, right? Of our country, of our company. Would you build a trap door that if you mess up and you accidentally something happens, you fall and you end up next to the Unabomber? You got to remove all that trapdoor out of the relationship. The four gentlemen that wrote the 13th Amendment, and I think the way the universe works, it's perfect. We don't have 13 floors, do we? You know, so the four gentlemen that wrote the 13th Amendment didn't look like the people they were amending. Also, at that point, it was illegal for blacks to read, or African Americans to read. And so that meant if you actually read the amendment, you get locked up.
Now, I'm going to leave it there. I have to wrap up the show. But what's important to keep in mind, what is Big Lie Media doing? They're going after him. CNN, all the networks, because this is a black that's supporting it. First of all, it's popular in the culture. That's supporting Donald Trump. And what does the Democratic Party rely on? 90-95% of blacks voting Democrat. So they're out to damage this gentleman any way they can. And that's what they do to any conservative black, pro-business black that's against failed policies of, for example, the war on poverty that Lyndon Johnson initiated. Well, we lost the war on poverty. There are just as many people in poverty as the day Lyndon Baines Johnson started. It's failed social welfare programs. If you want to keep people off of welfare, they need a good paying job with benefits. And that means working, not with your hand out looking for a welfare check, not being dependent on government. And what's scaring the Democratic Party and their fellow travelers in Big Lie Media is amongst both blacks and Hispanics. For example, in Hispanics, his approval rating is over 40%. In blacks, depending on which poll you're looking at, it's in the 30s. What's happening is people are thinking, finally thinking for themselves and seeing the results that Donald Trump has produced. And because of that, the Democrats are running scared. They need that black and Hispanic vote to vote for him, to get elected. Because if they don't have that, they will lose in the fall. So you better believe the liberals, the progressives, the socialists, the communists, they're dumping big time on Kanye West. They don't like that message because it tells blacks, we believe in you. You can make it. And if you have the right opportunities, a growing economy, 4, 5, 6%, what happens? Unemployment rates fall, not only for everybody, but in particular, blacks and Hispanics. That's a message that they don't want spread. They really want blacks to remain on the plantation. And what party has oppressed blacks the most? It's the Democratic Party. That's the history, not the Republican Party. The Republican Party was an anti-slavery party, not the Democratic Party. They were for slavery, they were for segregation, they were for Jim Crow. And unfortunately, many blacks are loyal to the Democratic Party, even though they're more or less taken for granted. They don't want other blacks at all doing what this gentleman did in the White House, meeting with a longtime friend, Donald Trump. So I wanted you the opportunity to listen to it. But remember, if you turn on CNN, the major networks, they are going after him big time. They're going nuts, hysterical. He's just one person expressing a view, but he's someone that many people in the community listen to. That's what they fear. And right next to him was Jim Brown. Yes, that Jim Brown, all-star football player. We need prison reform. Trump is for prison reform. But what all Americans want is an equal opportunity to get a good-paying job. And to the extent that they can, we have an economy that encourages, first of all, business formation, capital formation, people starting new businesses, because that's where the jobs are. It's people taking the risk of starting a new business. They call them entrepreneurs. And to the extent that they're successful, they need employees to make them successful. And they share their success with their employees by increasing their salaries, their hourly wages, their benefits. And they attract loyal, hardworking employees where you're not dependent on a welfare check. In other words, you're not dependent on the government. You're not dependent on the Democratic Party. So I applaud the efforts that this gentleman is making. My only criticism, he needed to tone down the MF words, the F-bombs, and the BSs. You need to check your language, especially if you're in the Oval Office and there was a lot of press in the room, and it was focused on him and the president. He ended it with a big hug and then lunch with the president and his daughter and son-in-law and others. Thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com.